Ron Rivard is joining us. He is the superintendent of the Ripon Area School District. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for braving the cold. So.
No problem. Wow. I'll thaw out before we're done, I'm sure.
I'm just going to ask you because I'm just doing my due diligence here, but, you know, a superintendent has to evaluate whether or not to have school on
Correct.
A day such as mm-hmm. this. And we didn't have a lot in the area yesterday. It was MLK Day, and some people were using that as in-service, I guess. But
very true.
But how do you make a decision like that? When is it too cold to actually have school?
Yeah, so usually it's based on whether the difference between a cold weather advisory and a cold weather, like extreme weather warning. When we get to a warning, most area school districts will call school just because it's so dangerous to be out. And for Ripon specifically, we have a lot of students who ride the bus, and we don't want them to be out in the cold waiting for the bus in a situation where frostbite can happen very quickly. And that's usually what happens in an extreme winter weather warning situation where wind chills are sub negative 30 degrees. So it's a safety, whether it's snow or very cold weather, it's always a safety call, right? Yeah. So when it's unsafe for our kids, we don't want to put them in at risk.
Well, and the other thing too is some vehicles don't have those cold cranking amps.
Mm-hmm.
Amps.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that could include buses, but I'm sure their fleet is probably well serviced.
Yeah, well, and buses usually get plugged in because they're diesel a lot of times.
Oh, sure.
So the glow plugs are plugged in and they stay warm all the time. There are very rare circumstances where diesel fuel will gel up and it mm-hmm. won't be able to fire, but that would be extreme cold. Yeah. We're talking Alaska cold at that point, Bob.
Yeah, I was looking at some of that Canadian air that's supposed to come our way over the next week.
So. Ooh, Friday, Saturday looks brutal. Yes, it does.
All right, so the school board did meet last night, and I guess one of the things they approved was some strategic planning.
Yeah, they sure did. So we have been working in collaboration, the board and I, and our administrative team, exploring some a possible revisit to our mission and vision and our strategic plan, and the timing is good. The last time we did that was about 7 or 8 years ago, and that's usually a pretty good cycle. So we're going to revisit that in the fall. It was approved yesterday, and I'm excited to dig into that work and get community representation, teachers, admin, board, everybody, and be really excited about I don't necessarily want to say a brand new direction, but about being revitalized and re-energized around helping kids.
So what exactly does strategic planning, I mean, what types of things do you take into mind when you're doing that?
Sure. So we're a learning organization. Any school district is. So student achievement and engagement will be one of those key performance indicators for us. So we're going to talk about what's important and what our goals are and how do we intend on getting there. So some of the early conversations that we've had already as a system and with our board are talking about comparing ourselves to the best in class in CESA 6, which is the CESA that we're in, and setting our goals accordingly and just chipping away at becoming a region-leading district in terms of student achievement, engagement, across the board. So to give you a really short answer, Bob, we're going to set some goals and we're going to monitor those goals and report those out publicly on a biannual basis at minimum, and just keep plugging away and using our continuous improvement strategies of monitor, scale up what's working well, stop doing what's not working. It sounds simple, but at the system level, it'll just take a lot of dedicated work.
Okay. Well, to use a football term, hopefully nobody moves the goal line.
Yes, if the goalposts stay the same, we'll be all right. We'll be all right. We're going to write our own Indiana story.
Yeah. I guess one of the other things that was worked on was early college credit. And
yeah.
Boy, that's important with the cost of college going up and up and up.
So. Indeed. So I'm really excited about the decisions that our board approved in terms of our guidelines and our policy around early college credit. The state requires us to offer a minimum of 18 credits. Our board wanted to exceed that, and we did, to 24 credits for our students, which is great. For them, they can earn up to basically a full year of college credit, because 12 credits is a full-time semester load, right? So families are able to do that, and if a student is able to exceed that 24 credits, depending on where they are academically at the high school, they can do that too, and there'll be a cost sharing between us and the family at a 75% family cost and 25% district cost. So very, very generous. And I think in support of what our mission is, and that's to give kids the best opportunity to pursue whatever education they want to pursue.
So which colleges do you work through with that, or do you have agreements with?
We don't have any formal agreements. Families can choose to take courses online, which could be anywhere across the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Primarily, a lot of our students will go to UWO in Oshkosh, mm-hmm. or they'll go to Ripon College, and a few Moraine Park as well, Technical right. College. So those are the closest ones where we see the lion's share of students taking part.
A lot of those have transfer agreements, and you know. So that works out pretty well.
Yes, for transcripted credit and such.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And students who are taking college courses, typically at this point, they have a pretty good idea about their path. Mm-hmm. They're not taking, you know, general education requirements. They're usually pretty focused in an area, which is also beneficial to them.
Yeah. Okay. I believe it's a new law, but a cell phone policy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't this a new law?
Yes, yeah. New legislation, exactly. So our board also yesterday took action to, didn't take action, but shared a revised policy around cell phones. And it's very much in line with the work that had already been done by our high school administration and students and teachers collaboratively. So the board supported that in kind, and we feel great about that. Lessening the distractions for kids is going to increase their engagement. And to summarize that policy, it's no phones during the school day or during class time. Lunch is okay, and before and after school is okay. So the focus is being engaged in academics, for sure.
So do they have a place to store the phones during class? Or
So prior to this particular bill coming through, what many teachers had done at the high school is they have a pocket chart, mm-hmm. and phones were just placed there out of the hands of kids. At this point, we're thinking that just having them stored in their locker is probably the safest place, because phones can be pretty expensive. You don't want to lose them or have them stolen or anything like that.
Boy, I'll tell you, I spend more time on my phone just looking stuff up than I do actually calling folks, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's part of it. I think because our students have Chromebooks, the access to the information is still there. So we're not taking information out of their hands. The way we're looking at it is we're trying to help take some distraction away, mm-hmm. So they can engage in learning rather than potentially worrying about some social media things that might be brewing during the day.
Right. What's the latest TikTok challenge?
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I don't know, Bob.
Me too. All right. Well, your predecessor, Mary Wittrich, had talked about this before you came in.
Okay.
She said one of the things eventually you were going to be involved in is looking at an operational referendum.
Yeah.
And I think she was talking 2027, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's something you are going to have to take a look at, I guess.
You are correct. So we actually are going to start that process of gathering some information from our community, working collectively with our board and administration, and just trying to help educate people about mm-hmm. the funding formula and how things work. And for us operationally, we actually have two different referenda that are staggered, and they're pretty close together. So what we're looking at doing is potentially combining the two so we don't have to come back for a vote in November and then come back again the following November. It seems counterintuitive. So that's where we stand right now, and we're hopeful that we're able to not ask for an increase in funds, just to maintain stability and stay right where we are at currently would be our goal. And that's it looks like we're going to be able to make good on that, and more to come there as we dig in more and do those surveys and have those interactions with the people in our community to learn about their questions so we can answer them and help them be as informed as possible mm-hmm. to make the most informed decision that they can.
Yeah, you don't want to get in a situation like Oshkosh did recently with having to cut $5.5 million, and that ended up costing folks jobs.
Right. So, right. I feel for them in Oshkosh, and you're absolutely right, Bob. The best decisions we can make are to find efficiencies without looking at people. Because school is a people business, and they're the most important resource that we have. And protecting them is top on our priority list for sure.
Then you really don't have a choice. Then you do have to increase class sizes. So.
Yeah. There's always an impact for sure, and we'll do our very best to make sure that impact stays as far away from kids as possible, right? Like that's always the goal for any school district, not just Ripon.
Mm-hmm. All right, one of the things the board approved was a bid for what was it?
A roofing project? Roof restoration.
School, high school.
Yep, at that campus. So I'm really, as a new superintendent, really proud of the work that the district had done. So it's being funded by Fund 46, mm-hmm. Which is a fancy term to say the district has been very fiscally responsible and saved money and set aside money for projects. So we don't have to ask the community for funds. So this is one prime example of that, where they saved money over 5 years ago, because the thinking is if you save this money and set it aside, you can't use it and can't access it for 5 years. So very much forward thinking, and I would say an essential upgrade that needs to happen for the roof, warm and dry are two pretty important conditions for learning, and that speaks directly to that. So
yeah, I mean, today's weather is a good example of indeed. Why you want to be warm and dry.
Indeed, indeed. If you're not warm and dry, it's a little bit more difficult to learn. That is for sure.
But that was the lowest bid, and I guess there were four bidders.
The lowest by quite a substantial margin, actually, like almost $100,000. So we're happy to be able to partner with a quality contractor that we trust is going to do great work.
Well, I think it's probably safe to say they're not going to start today.
So. No, gosh, unless their foreman is a penguin and they have a lot of polar bears working for them, maybe that would be the case.
Right. Well, Ron, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate your time.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Bob. I always like being here.
That is Ron Rivard, who is the superintendent of the Ripon Area School District. We appreciate him joining us this morning.